welcome to the show, Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that will showcase up-and-coming stars in the musical, visual, performing, creative, and literary arts arena. We will discuss with professional guests about songwriting, entertainment law, copywriting, artistic creativity, and other topics of importance in this highly competitive industry. It gives us great pleasure to introduce our guest today, Mr. Francisco Davis, also known as Cisco the Artist. His biography. Mr. Davis was born in the Dominican Republic and reared in Newark, New Jersey. He is a visionary, an accomplished detail artist, lecturer, photographer, recording engineer, producer, and art gallery owner. He has lectured, taught drawing skills at all education levels, and at civic organizations in the U.S. and abroad. Mr. Davis founded Cultural Vortex, the group that produced Black Gold. Black Gold's mission was to educate, inspire, and entertain communities across the United States. This goal was accomplished by presenting a cultural extravaganza through a chronological historical account of our many movers and shakers, our national and international Black treasures. The Black group used various genres such as art, theater, music, poetry, and dancers. Mr. Davis is a retired U.S. Army veteran, and during his military career, he received many honors for his outstanding work beyond the call of duty. This included the Meritorious Service Medal, and he also served as his military unit's Equal Opportunity Representative. He was nominated for the NAACP's Roy Wilkins Meritorious Service Award for his exceptional contribution to this country in the area of civil and human rights, race relations, equal opportunity, affirmative action, and public service. Mr. Davis also received many artistic awards while in the military. A lifetime dream of his, when he got out, he formed SOME, an organization dedicated to build an empire of the creative arts. Mr. Davis, welcome to the show.
Wow, that introduction, I don't know what else needs to be said. How are you doing today?
Just fine. We're going to get started and just go over a couple of little things that our listeners might be interested in this industry.
Okay.
The meaning of art is diverse among the novice viewers. As an accomplished artist, what is your perspective answer to art is?
Well, first of all, art is a means of self-expression, but let me give you a little take on my point of view on that, you know. Because, like, for instance, the simple things in life that most people ignore, the artists, like myself, explore them. You know, just take a moment and look at the birds flying in the sky. You know, I'm trying to sound a little poetic here, but this is the thing that God already created a lot of the things that we try ourselves to emulate. You know, listen to the sounds of nature, the winds blow through the leaves on the trees, and, you know, rainy days, just feel the raindrops, you know, just falling down our face. You know, got to stop and smell the roses. Warm summer days, we go through the orchards, eat cherries off the trees, and sample the grapes off the vine. These are things that have already been created, and we are only just merely imitators of God's creations.
Well, that's very inspiring, and I think a lot of people didn't look at it that way. And while the answers might differ, Cisco, from one artist to the next, the whys and hows of art can lead us to a world of wonder and vision. Can you tell us your vision, the vision that guides you in your creativity, which I think is directed by image is everything?
Image is everything. And you look at it this way, right? We have that old cliche, you hear that all the time, you know. You have one chance in life to make a first impression. As artists, we have that same opportunity to make a first impression. So, you know, and I'd like to keep that vision alive by catering to all of the artistic needs, you know, not just in the literary words, but harmonic sounds, theatrical productions, and, you know, anything that deals with art itself and the way people express themselves in doing so. But it has to be done in a touch of class or with a touch of class. That's what, you know, people, you know, image is everything to me.
And I'm sure you do that well.
I try, you know, because we got to represent all the artists that are around.
Exactly. Okay. And okay, in recognizing that, we understand architects' function in art is mostly to provide shelter. The people who are in fashion art is to clothe and so on. What, in your opinion, is the function of the painter artist?
We try to capture a moment in time. You know, we want to make sure that when we, it could be an event in itself, you know, and you say, okay, like, oh, the Million Man March, I'm going to do a piece on that. Obama just got elected, I'm going to do a piece on that. You know, moments in time where people say, hey, you know, I think that that needs to be captured, because as artists, it's our time to do such things. You know, just like way back in the day, the artists, they captured their moment in time. Now, today is our time to capture what's going on today. And done tastefully.
Oh, I see. Do we have to carry on the legacy of the artists back from way, the 16th century, 17th century?
You got it. You know, since the beginning of time, you know, we had, because those times were captured, we also still do a lot of the older and way back in the day art, you know, because we study those artists, you know. I went to Europe. I hope I'm not getting off base here. But I went
to
art.
You can take as much time as you want.
Okay, great. You know, when I went to the Louvre and saw some of the great masters' work, you know, when we read them in books, it's a totally different story than when we see them live and in person, you know. And, I mean, nothing but tears can come out of your eyes in a big wow. You know, wow, they really took this long to do it, and I could see why. But in the pictures and the books that we see them, they're just, you know, a quarter page or eighth of a page, and it's not really, you know, it's not really interpreting what that artist was really trying to convey to us, you know. Because, I mean, they're humongous things. Okay. I hope I answered that.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I've had the opportunity to see a lot of the artists' paintings in real life. The Black Watch, I remember seeing. I stood there, I know, for about 12 minutes when I saw that painting. And I just said to myself, like you said, how could somebody paint that? I mean, like you said, we imitate what God has already given us.
That's right.
Some people also, Cisco, know, have some familiarity of art styles. And I think that's what's happening now with most people. They say, well, who is that? Because there is so much diversity. They're familiar with expressionism, realism, abstraction, impressionism, and maybe fantasy. Give us an overview of your individual art style and why.
Okay, that's a good one. Because, you know, I started out with realistic impressions. You know, I mean, everything was real. It had to be this way. It had to be that way. Now I've become a little looser than what I mean by that. For those that don't know, looser, you know, it's like more of a just freestyling rather than trying to get everything as correct and as detailed as when I originally started. You know, so mine is realistic, detailed, very color conscious, a bit of commercial, with a twist of cubism and abstract. I have to say that with a twist because I really did not like it at first because, you know, sometimes when you get into abstract, you see people just throwing colors and dripping here and all of this stuff. But I learned my lesson. You know, I learned my lesson because I was asked to go to a museum. I was asked to go to an art gallery in New York. And I think it was a little bit of a setup, but I was asked to go there and just check out this friend's gallery. Oh, okay, I'll go over there with you. And when I got there, I saw nothing but abstract and painted here and this and that over there, rolled up bodies against those canvases over there. And McEnroe owns some of my pieces. You know, this is what the gallery owner said, you know. And if you really want to get into art, this is what you need to do. And it kind of like said, okay, Cisco, if you want to sell it to galleries like that one, or if you want to sell this to that, I'm going to stay true to my realism, but I have to consider what's going on out there. So, and that was in the 80s. I'm timing myself. So, yeah. So that's one thing that you have to adjust to what's going on in the art world, you know. And you can stay true to who you are, but if you feel like selling, sometimes you have to say, okay, I can paint this or sculpt this and keep it in my house, or I can go with the trends of what's going on and say, okay, this is where I need to go, you know. So these are some of the things that I had to, you know, change my ways of thinking and how I wanted to do certain things. You know, originally I wanted to be a fashion illustrator. You know, I wanted to do medical illustration. You know, all of these things. But you know, you have to raise a family. You have to raise a family, and then when you get into the military, it's a totally different thing. Okay, I hope I'm not going off base there, but that one was something because I had to change my tactics and my ways of thinking and going into different aspects so that way it could be more acceptable.
Well, don't feel like you are on any question I ask. Take as much time as you want because the idea as artists is that we get all kinds of perspective from other artists, especially an accomplished artist as yourself. I'm going to go on that topic again about how people have gone off and done the abstracts and surrealism and still call it good art. But to further go on to asking you about the art, as an accomplished artist, we see you also do sculpture and use multimedia in your artwork. Tell us some of the material you use to create two-dimensional and three-dimensional work.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, I use everything from wood, paper, ceramic tiles. The best one that I feel very comfortable with, that I can carve with, to me, is a material called precision board. Precision board is used by a lot of sign painters that is very easy. It's a man-made material, and it's very easy to carve. And when you use that material, you sand it down, prime it, sand it down again, prime it again. About a step, like about five steps of priming and sanding it down with real, real, real fine paper. sandpaper. You can, you know, you can use a wet sanding, and it, and when you're finished with it, it looks just like metal. Why cast it when you can do it in that manner? You know, why go through this? People have their choices. This just happens to be my choice when I'm carving, you know, and that's one of my favorites to use, actually, when it comes to carving. I've carved wood, so, and that's pretty good. The harder the wood, the better it is, because then you can't, it's harder to mess it up. Okay.
What you said at the beginning, because maybe some of our listeners didn't get it. The type of material you were talking about, let me have that again, just a little spill of that again, the type of wood and the process.
Whatever is available, as far as the wood is concerned, the harder type of wood that you can get is better to carve with, because then, you know, you can control it a little better. You know, the softer the wood is going to be very, you know, you can twist it here and there, and then you got to, you know, patch it up. But the harder the wood is, the much better it is as far as to carve. That's in my opinion. You know, another artist might tell you, oh, I like the soft wood, but, you know, it's a different feeling, you know, and my passion is the harder. But the material that I was talking about is called precision board. Precision board.
Precision. Can we buy that somewhere? Can they buy it somewhere?
Yes, you could. Like any reputable sign company that sells supplies for sign companies, they would have it. And you just look it up and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for, and test it out, because it's like a hard board, and it comes in different sizes. You can glue it together if you want it thicker, you know. And to me, is so much better if you're trying to get that metal finish, if you're trying to get a particular finish that you love and you don't want to use wood, it's much, much better. Yeah, I carved an eagle with a piece like that, and I'm talking about every feather, and everything was done with that particular board.
That's excellent. Thank you. What we're going to do now?
One more thing. Can I also put this one in there?
Oh, sure.
Oh, do you want to go after the break?
We'll do it after the break.
Okay, good.
Thanks. All right. Go get a drink of water.
All
right, we'll
be
right back. Interlude,
right,
a song, Retro Mico by Saturday. This is Andale Banks, your host. Our honored guest today is Francisco Davis, also known as Cisco the Artist. Now, Cisco, where we were talking about the materials you use in your two-dimensional and three-dimensional creativity, continue on that aspect that you wanted to talk about.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Another one I didn't mention earlier was marble and granite. I'll also work with that as well. You know, after that job that I did with the eagle, there was another bird that I had to, that I was asked to do, you know, and I was in the middle of a job, and it's kind of tough, because we were trying to do the hands of God in with granite. And with that granite, you know, we're doing the hands of God and blah blah blah, and you know, it, it, it's it was such a, you know, it was such an eerie thing because that was the first time I actually worked in a church. They wanted an ascending dove because they saw the job that I did with the eagle, and I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I did the hands of God in that granite, and that bird, we did it with a white marble, you know. So that's in a church, the Covenant Tabernacle over on Halton Road in Baltimore, Maryland, and that was something because when we was pricing it, it was very pricey to get that material.
And
the day before that I went to check on the material, the granite, a whole sheet, like 10 by 10 sheet, just fell and broke. And it was on the top, and it was on the top of the dumpster. So what I did was I was in that dumpster picking out the pieces that I was going to put together and glue together to make the hands of God, you know. And I was like, you know, this is just unreal. You couldn't even write a script like that, you know. So, and I put it together, and it worked, and everybody's happy about it. So it was cool because I didn't have to buy it, and they didn't have to pay for it. So that was good. That was God, you know.
Right.
He had his hands on that one. So I have to say that one because all the different materials, that was something that I could never forget.
Well, thank you for going over that again. And I know all of our artists have in some time come into a tragedy that became well. Because we're creative people, we find what to do.
That's right.
Okay, to get too more technical, tell our audience what you consider some of the most important skills that lead to becoming a good and successful artist.
Ooh, that's a good one. Listen, first of all, we as artists, we have to be open-minded, okay? You know, the typical answer to something like that is, oh, education, education, education. Yes, you have to go to school and you have to get educated. But just knowing and understanding the basic things such as, okay, I can't do a painting without knowing that there's a circle, triangle, a square, cylinder. And some people add the triangle, the rectangle, just, you know, it's just an extension of the square. So knowing these shapes, you can create everything through that, you know. Knowing your lines, knowing your shapes, knowing your forms, knowing that there is also space in between whatever you do, you know, texture, value, colors, you know. I love to work with colors, light, dark, you know. Again, you have to be focused, you know. You have to be focused, you know. So these are some of the things that I call are very important for all artists to do, regardless of what their skill level is, just do that. And even with that said and done, you know, I learned that you can manipulate those forms and call them abstract. You know, you have to say, okay, you can manipulate these things and make it something else, and then you can say, okay, what was the artist trying to do there, or you know, and let the people guess. And sometimes you'd be surprised; they'll tell you what they see, and you didn't even see it. Okay. Yes.
All right. Fine. I'm sure a lot of artists have experienced that as we go to the galleries. So in your travels, and I know you travel and you lecture and you're on the art scene, what kinds of questions do people really ask you about art?
Oh, my goodness. One of the first things they'll say is, did you really do that? Did you really do that? You know, and you say, oh, well, yes. And then you see my name is down there. Oh, I see your name. It's cool. You know, And then they'll say something like, okay, well, you know, how did you decide, what made you become an artist? And
okay.
You know, I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. I was born an artist, I'm going to say that much. You know, I'm talking about, okay, from Crown, coloring books, way back in the day. You know, oh, he stays within the line. So people say, oh, he's going to be an artist because he stays within the line. You know, and art to me is I feel that that's my passion. You know, that's my love. You know, that's when I'm in my comfort zone. You know, I'm you know, I could be doing anything. Once I start doing my artwork, I'm lost in that time and space right there of working with that. I don't know what time it is until I see the sun come up, or you know, I'm still up from the night before. You know, things like that. So that's my passion. You know, I feel very, very deep about that, you know, and that's the thing. Okay. I hope I answered your question.
Oh,
I'm getting all excited over here about that.
I have a little spin on that, too, and I'm going to tell you that as soon as we come back. We're going to take another little small break with a music interlude, I Sold, by Bree and the Whatevers.
Sip, and we'll begin to slip away into each other's arms.
Welcome back. This is Andell Banks, your host on Wish Upon a Star, with our honored guest, Mr. Francisco Davis, also known as Cisco the Artist. We were speaking about what do people ask you when they see your art, and I said I'd tell a little something about what some people ask me. When I have some of my exhibits at different venues outside or inside of, I would say, arena, they would come behind me and say, while I'm painting, excuse me, how can you paint while all these people in here? So the emphasis was that they cannot believe an artist can concentrate with so many people around. So I just tell them, I say, well, as an artist, I think I have a third eye and a deaf ear.
That's good. Do you mind if I use that?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
and
good,
in that
good,
aspect, Cisco, we know creativity requires a lot of concentration.
And
composition time sometimes starts to ensue a battle of how the image is placed on the canvas, how color adheres and interacts or doesn't interact with the objects. Do you find the business side of being an artist can infringe on the delicate balance of time and creative objects?
Well, that's another tough one. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It is hard. It's not easy, you know. But the back to what I said earlier or mentioned earlier, when we have to do our research on different things and know what's going on. If you're painting something, you can't just paint it and sell yourself short. You know,
right.
You have to know at least a happy medium as to what you would accept and what you will not accept. You know,
right.
So you have to, so long as you know that, that's good. You know, most of us are not doing the artwork just to make money. You know, a lot of us are doing it. We want to make money, but, you know, it's mainly the passion that we have for our art, you know. So, yeah, we sell ourselves short on many occasions, you know. And it's just some incidents that, you know, we'd like to not be involved in that, but, you know, our thing is mainly to create. You know, and then it's best if you have someone else that can actually do that for you and not take you, you know, not rob you blind, you know. But that's why you have all these people in there with other people that you have in your as your guest, you know, because then you can say, okay, I'm an art dealer, I'm a so and so person that can more best represent artists, you know. So that way we don't have to be dealing with that. But we don't want to sell ourselves short either, because then people will not respect, you know. Oh, he'll do it for nothing, you know.
Right.
He'll do it for that, you know. He don't care about that, you know. But, you know, it's a business, so we have to look at it on how we're going to get paid and survive, you know.
Right.
Hopefully,
what do you use? I know I've seen some of your wonderful work. And can you give us an example of what a good references are for creativity? Let's say we don't always go outside, we always don't have the books that we want, but what is some good reference places that we can get some material, so or even look at it to make a composition?
To make a composition? Well, let me tell you, the places that you can just walk outside, I'm going to be honest, just walk outside for reference, you know. Or even the television, you know,
okay.
And see what's going on. You know, you say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this event happened. Will people be interested in this moment in time down 20, 30 years from now? You know, that to me is a reference, you know. A lot of people that I know, they draw nature, so all they got to do is walk outside, you know. I get inspired by, you know, the way the clouds are forming in the sky, you know. Things, you can get those references in anything, you know. And like earlier I said, God created all of these things so that way we can, you know, emulate that. You know, a lot of artists are saying, oh, I'm self-taught, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this and that. You know, they could say it. But we know the truth. God is the ultimate artist, and we just want to be like him, you know, and we want to make sure that we represent it well.
Right, exactly. Okay, as a Renaissance man.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
You know, okay. Doing all those things, have you structured a schedule to provide a clearer direction for what you want to accomplish each day?
You want the truth? The answer is no. A structured, no. You know, each day, no. Because, it comes from inspiration. You know, I could be doing one thing today and tomorrow I'm gonna be like, nah, I'm going to leave it alone today. But when I'm keyed in, and like you said earlier too, focused, you know, once I'm focused, it's going to take a lot to take me off of this. So I can't say is this particular time to draw, this particular time for this or this and that. I say, okay, of course, if there's an event or something that I have to attend to or that I have to be a part of, I'm going to be there. But as soon as I finish that, it's, you know, the structured things is, okay, I know rehearsal is at such and such a time, and I have to make sure they're set up. Once they're set up, I'm painting. You know, once everything is ready for what it's supposed to do, then guess what? I'm painting. That's what I'm supposed to do, you know. So structured time, no, out the window. I could be up at 6 o'clock in the morning and some people are just getting up. I was still up from the night before. You know, that's artists, yeah. So you can relate to that. You're an artist as well.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Been there and done that. I've also noticed that your work, the realism and the beauty of it, and they're pretty vast. You do large pieces. On an average, how long does one piece take, or do you do 4 or 5 pieces at one time, and how long does it take to complete, to do or say what artists say, that's done?
Well, it takes a minute, especially when you're carving, you know, and then when you're as engaged and as focused, when you want to get that thing done, you're going to work all the way through. So it could take a week, it could take a couple of days, it could take 2 weeks or a month, you know, or 2 months. You know, the Obama piece that I carved out, that one was started the day that he was elected president, and I finished it on the inaugural ball day. So that's what, November, December, January? You see, about 3 months. Total of about 3 months to carve it and get it to a completed stage. But that's carving and working with granite, working with all kinds of things, stone, everything. So I was really engaged. So when you, or another thing too, get back to your original question, is that if a client says, oh, I need this particular piece for my mother's birthday or my husband's this or my girlfriend's that, depending on when they need it, and I would stop a job to complete that one based on the necessity and the time, you know, and say, hey, okay, let me finish this one. This one's not in a big hurry. No problem. Let me do that, you know, and that's how I work, you know. It depends on how it is. And then again, too, I kind of like, you know, a lot of times we let things sit and then we're rushing. A lot of artists can relate to that, too.
Right.
You know, but I try not to let that happen, but sometimes you can't help it, you know, because you're like, okay, I know what it would take for me to do it, but okay, I'm going to take about 3 days to complete that, no problem. The week before, I'm working it, making sure that everything is done so that way by the 3 days time that it's going to take you, you can have time to tweak it and make sure that everything is right.
Right.
Okay.
I can identify with that as well. Matter of fact, as of this morning, I had someone to call me, and they wanted me to do a birthday invitation.
There you go.
I said, okay. And they said, well, I want it by Sunday. So is there any time that you just have to say, which I never do, and I'm sure you never do, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you just say, I just won't be able to do it in that length of time?
You have to be realistic. And if it's going to compromise your integrity to the art, you have to say, you know, I really can't do it. You know, please get somebody else. I know so-and-so is not busy. You know, can he could do it. Now, if they don't like his style, do like that gallery owner told me. If I wanted a photograph, I'll hire a photographer. So let them hire a photographer. Yeah.
All right. Great. What we're going to do now is take another little break with a nice piece of music, Gone Away by Otis. This is Andell Banks, your host, A Wish Upon a Star. And today, we have our honored guest, Mr. Francisco Davis, also known as Cisco the Artist. Now, Cisco, this is the perennial question.
Uh-oh, here
we go. Can an artist do what they truly love, create art, and still make a living?
We have to refer back to one of your earlier questions, because yes, we can, but we have to have support, you know. And not only support, we have to have also other things to do while we're trying to achieve that goal, you know, of the ultimate just being an artist. You know, there are some fortunate ones that can sell big pieces that might, you know, pay rent for a year. But, you know, the average artist can't do that. You know, we'll survive on portraits. We'll survive on, like, you know, doing cards, like you just told me that you just had that job. You know, we'll survive on a lot of different things. But we need that support. We need not only in the home, but our friends. We got to have people to say, hey, look, you know, I know you're an artist, and this is what I know you're going to need, blah, blah, blah. Support by just buying a card, you know, buying a print. You know, I happen to have a good support system with my family and my friends, you know, and I can, you know, I can say I'm blessed with that because I'm, you know, I have a lot of great friends. Look at you. You always here when I have something, you know. So that's support, you know. Even if it's as small as it may seem, trust me, we as artists know it and we appreciate that. You know, you can't make every show, but we at least call you and say, hey, I can't make it. Such and such came up. I'm busy doing that. But we need that support. Can we survive without it? It's rare. Can we do what we love? We have to do what we love, but hey, I got to cut grass too. I got to trim trees. I have to plaster, you know, I have to paint houses, whatever it takes to you know, to make ends meet, because you can't just survive on what you do. And that's another reason probably why you could call me a Renaissance man. You know, you do all these other things just because you need to survive.
Absolutely correct. By us being into the art arena and industry, I have been to a lot of forums to see other things that's coming about. What trends or changes have you seen that affect the art scene and industry today?
that's a good one. Because, you know, the computer took over a lot of our graphic art skills that we used to do when we did color separations and all of this other stuff. And we did all of that stuff by hand. You know, now you get into a computer and heck, it's done. You know, and not only that, the computer art generated designs and all of that good stuff. A lot of artists just push buttons, manipulate the look, and then just paint over it, and it's art. You know, I'm not saying I'm against it because it's beautiful. But to those that are trained and, you know, can say that they grew up as artists and they've done all of this research and done all of this schooling and all of this observation, self-observation, and going through all these museums, checking out all these artists that have, you know, left us their impression on art, you know, it kind of like says, wow, they just did this. All I need to do is just touch that button, and guess what? The computer is going to make it look like that. But, you know, that's one of the things that you have to. Another one, it's a big art trend with this nails, painting nails, fingernails, toenails, you know. That's a big art form lately, you know.
Pedicure,
body art.
And manicure.
Manicure, yeah, pedicure.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's a big thing, you know, and it looks good. I got to get a magnifying glass and maybe I'll start doing that. But still, you know, those are the things that we have to keep up with what's going on, you know. But, you know, the thing that I have to say is that, you know, you have to change with the times. You
right.
know, there are, you know, way back in the day, it seemed like every house had a velvet painting of Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and Elvis, the velvet Elvis. Everybody had one of those. Those are no longer around, you know. So now we have all of this abstract art and nice colors and all of that stuff. We have those. Those of us that are into African-American art, we're capturing them, and we're seeing that on the walls nowadays, which is great. You know, it's great. You know, pretty flowers, all of these things. So we have to adjust and accept that change is inevitable.
You're absolutely correct. Now, what I would like for you to do, Cisco, in the time remaining, just to give our audience the breadth and depth of your successful art career, can you mention some of your notable, coveted awards and artworks?
Let's see now. I have to start with the church again. You know, because of the things that I went through. The New Covenant Tabernacle Church, the mural on that church, you know, and some of the things that I had to go through to do it, that to me was like something that I have to mention, you know. It was it's on my web, not my web, but on Facebook. You can probably see that. And some of the skills that it took to do that, that to me is something that I need to mention, you know. That's one. Another piece that I have to mention is, again, the Obama piece with that precision board that looks like metal. It's not metal. It's not casted metal. That piece in itself, you know, it means a lot because, you know, no matter whether people like Obama or not, you have to admire him for what he has done for a lot of artists. You know, since
right.
Martin Luther King, he's done a whole lot of things of bringing artists to really wake up and start doing some, you know, very important works with him in there. Then you got to look at what he's accomplished, you know. And in that particular piece, you know, it encompasses so much. You got that white marble that represents his mother, you know, his maternal side of his family. Then you got black granite, which represents his paternal side of his parents, you know. And the way that on the corners, on the edges of that particular piece, I have, you know, colored blocks of tiles, you know, real, which represent every color, like, you know, the turquoise for the Native Americans, the red also for the Native Americans, Spanish with the brown, the yellow for the Orientals. You know, it represents all of us, a piece on unity. It's not about, you know, oh, black, white, whatever. You know, it's about unity. And the background of that is this United States of America, you know, not necessarily any particular color. There's a lot of red and a lot of red states, a lot of blue states and all of this. So I chose purple. Purple is a combination of both. So, you know, and also represents royalty. The wood that it's done in, that piece of wood is a white oak, which is one of the strongest wood that we have here in America. So I chose that one. You know, and as we can see, if you look at it, the borders are not separated by the colors of each state. They all blend together like it's a bloodline. So you see the wood grain, and it crosses borders. You know, all of these things, this is what it's about. It's not about, oh, red states, black states, red states, white states, blue states. No, this is America. You know, that's why that piece is so heavy, you know. That's number two. The third one I have to talk about is a piece that I did for Northern Anne Arundel County. The Preservation Society, they did a quilt show. Now, what they were doing was sending me pictures. Oh, Cisco, you're an artist, but can you make us a collage on the subject of all these people from Northern Anne Arundel County over there by where the airport is? And I'm like, sure. I took all those pictures, and unbeknownst to them, I painted them. I didn't cut them. I painted them. They were not expected. It's huge. Six, two, two, that particular shot when they got it. Traveling to a couple of museums, you know, it traveled. It made its Moon Temple, 495 in D.C. area. It's been there. Douglas Museum. It's been to St. Church. You know, all it's been. It was a great thing to do.
And I'm sure it was. We are so excited, Cisco. I just wanted to let you know that your artwork is phenomenal, and it portrays reflections of the African-American experiences in the world. Your murals are profound points of reference for our young people. They are positive reflections that give credence that we do exist. Thank you. But how can listeners have the pleasure of viewing your artworks, maybe online or at your gallery?
Of course, at my gallery. I would prefer at my gallery because, you know, that means that you have a personal connection with the pieces, the same way that I had when I used to go to these museums and art galleries. But view them online on Facebook at Francisco the Artist and Francisco's Artist Spot. Mm-hmm. Now, my gallery is in Baltimore, 507 South Central Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. 212-12.
Thank you very much. I'm sure they're going to go online. And I had several other questions, but I really want to say at this time, thank you for being our guest. And I hope that we can ask you to come on the show again.
Oh, I'm glad, and thank you so much for actually inviting me to be a part of it. You know, I am honored. I'm truly honored, especially coming from you, being an artist yourself. Okay?
Yes. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Wish Upon a Star on bbsradio.com. This is Andale Banks, your host, and for comments and suggestions, please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. And your coordinator, Denise Banks, saying, keep reaching for the stars. We're going to give you a little music interlude to say thanks for listening. Serendipity by Tina Malia.